This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I thought we played with tremendous honor. I thought we played with the heart of a championship program and a program that's gone back to back. And for a team to to end, what we really wanted to do, they were going to have to put us down. And obviously, a worthy opponent like that, there's honor in the way we went out.
It was a tough one for the UConn Huskies, losing 77-75 to top seed Florida yesterday. And it was difficult for a lot of different reasons. I mean, the team played so hard and against a team that was bigger, probably more talented, and just a really, really talented team. UConn had a 6-point lead with the ball with 9 minutes left. And it just sort of fell apart. And there was a lot of missed opportunities. There were a lot of opportunities off of turnovers that they could not convert. And, you can always woulda, coulda, shoulda. So we don't have to play that game this morning. They did. They played so hard, and they don't have to hang their heads. They really, really don't. We want to talk more about it with Dom Amore, the Hartford Current, who's actually at the airport in Raleigh, headed back home. Dom, thanks for taking the time with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Brian. Good morning.
So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. I want to talk about even the ACC stuff that you wrote about last week, and Hurley specifically, and some of the players leaving. But generally, what were your thoughts on watching this team over the weekend?
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the last team that I covered that was actually going for a four-peat, the 2001 Yankees. You know, their championship run ended out in Arizona in kind of a similar way. You know, they played a very formidable opponent, and they lost in the last inning of the last game, really left everything on the field out there in Phoenix. And it reminded me of that. You know, if Joe Torre used to say that if you're going to give up the crown, if you're going to lose the crown, make someone take it away from you. Don't just give it up. And I think, the Yankees did that in 2001, and this team did it this year. They, it was taken from them by, as you pointed out, a better team, a team that had a better season, probably a bigger, more talented and older team, and it was not taken away easily. So I thought UConn did everything that they could do, and as you pointed out, they had no reason to hang their heads about it. Disappointed, yes, but, they should be proud of the way they've done things the last 3 years.
I think about yesterday in the backdrop of the two titles, about how they just romped through the field the last 2 years, and it's really hard to win this tournament. It's so hard. Yeah. And they just somehow, for some crazy reason, made it look so easy for 2 years. We're talking with Dom Amore, the Hartford Current. What was the vibe in the locker room? I mean, obviously Hurley's emotions are something that I take away, but Caravan's quote about not wanting to take the jersey off that makes me feel like he's definitely leaving. And just what was the vibe in the room?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of players were just openly crying and weren't thrilled about the media being in there. They're not used to that. Maybe the way professional players are, the locker room's not usually open. But players were very emotional and crying. At least the ones that we saw were. I know for Caravan, he wanted very badly to be to play on the first team to three-peat in modern era. And I think it was more because of that. I know he also said that He also said the locker room is not going to be the same next year without Samson Johnson and Hassan Diarra. So that led some people to read into it that maybe he is considering coming back. So I wouldn't necessarily, in the emotion of the moment, I wouldn't necessarily read into what anyone's saying in terms of whether they're going to come back or not. You know, remember, Andre Jackson said he was coming back, and he ultimately was talked out of it.
What about, I mean, you assume McNeely's gone, right?
I assume he is, yes. But, you know, it's always going to come down to what kind of feedback he gets on where he's going to be drafted. If he's going to be drafted in the top half of the first round, then I don't think there's any choice. He has to go. But if he is hearing that he's not going to be drafted in a favorable place, then maybe he would consider coming back. So I would assume he's gone, but I wouldn't say it's 100% certain.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was the 60-minute piece or what. I don't remember, but when Hurley said like half the team is, you know, either looking into it or you know, or already sort of down the road on the portal, yeah, makes you wonder about who else. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have Terrace Reed come back. Obviously, he's got at least another year.
That kind of thing was true even before the easy transfer rules and before NIL. You know, players who aren't playing are not going to stay. They're going to go somewhere else because no one goes to college to sit on the bench. And, you know, now with social media, you see players' parents or their guardians or their mentors making comments about them not playing. That leads you to believe that they're on the way out too. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there are quite a few players who leave. There are five, huge prospects coming in. So, it's going to be a very different team next year. I think this particular era is basically over for UConn. It's going to be, they're going to be good going forward, but it's going to be a completely different group next year and a much younger group in a game where teams are getting older.
Yeah, we're talking with Don Mamore, the Hartford Courant. We only have a couple of quick minutes here. I have so many questions for you. Quickly, you wrote a really interesting stuff on, you know, Kimani Young, the assistant, and Luke Murray, the assistant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get paid close to $1 million to be assistants, and they don't have to deal with a lot of the really difficult kind of garbagey stuff a head coach needs to deal with. We just talked about the portal and NIL and all that stuff. They're great coaches, good basketball minds. Do you think they'll be back?
Well, you know, I think it's there's more of an opportunity for them to get a head coaching position this year because UConn's finished and teams can talk to them and their openings still available. Last couple of years, teams maybe weren't willing to wait till the end of the Final Four for them to make their move. So they might have more opportunities this year. And, you know, everyone, I think, wants to try to be a head coach if they can and worry about the headaches once they get the job. So I wouldn't be surprised if one or both get opportunities and go. I mean, because that's just the way the business works.
Is UConn to the ACC actually back on the table, or is it just because the tides have shifted it was worth bringing up?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily – well, I think it's always on the table. I mean, I think UConn wants it, and so I think it's always on the table, at least on their end, as far as – the ACC goes. I think if they recognize where they are in basketball and want to kind of get back, then they have to think about some of these things, some of these possibilities, like adding UConn or some type of alliance with the Big East. I mean, obviously, if they don't want to go full in on a merger with the Big East, you know, adding UConn, I don't think would hurt them in football and would certainly help them a great deal in basketball and women's basketball. So it makes more sense than ever, and you're starting to see and hear more pundits out there talk about it. You know, we're so used to hearing that UConn wants to join a conference and all the people across the country are poo-pooing it as ridiculous. Now, for the first time, some of that chatter is coming from outside Connecticut. I think that's a good sign for UConn.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And listen, you can read about it. Go to current.com or just Google Don Mamore and Current. You can get that piece and yesterday's piece coming off of the loss against Florida. Dom, safe travels. We look forward to seeing you back here in Connecticut.
All right, you got it, Brian. Thanks a lot.